I'll be reading from the Old Testament this morning for our scripture, found in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. So let our hearts be prepared now to receive these words. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its tops in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, otherwise we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we know that what we celebrate is the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, if you will. I mean, essentially what we were doing as we've shared the hymns that we had this morning was singing happy birthday to the church, because this is the day we celebrate in which the church was put into motion, the church became as it was, the Holy Spirit descended upon the people in a rush of wind. We heard it in the Psalm 104 that we shared this morning, how that rush of wind was almost like fingers of fire reaching out and touching people. Reaching out and touching you here and touching you over there and touching you back there. Saying, "Tag, you're it. The Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is filling your heart. Now go out and do these things. Don't stay here. Don't stay here. But go out and do these things so that the church will grow. The people will come to know Jesus Christ. The people will come to know more about God, because those that were gathered in that place that had that rush of wind fill the whole place, touch them like fire, were empowered to go forth to make disciples, that they would too come into the body of Christ. Each time we look at our United Methodist emblem, the cross and the flame on the front of your hymnal, if you'll look, we're reminded of what it means to be touched by that fire of the Holy Spirit. Because that cross and that flame remind us of one, of what Christ did for us, of what Christ willingly did for us, and we're reminded too with that flame that we don't stay in one place. The church is not a place that we go to. Church is what we do. And church is about how we interact with our neighbors and our community and in our family throughout the week. How people know that we're Christians. And then when that person needs to hear a promising word, a word of hope, then you can offer that. But each time we see that cross and flame, we recall what happened on the day of the Pentecost. Today, as we hear these words from the Scripture, if we remember nothing else, let us remember what our God did for us through His Son. And let us remember that we were put into motion, a motion of witnessing, a motion of discipleship, a motion of serving, and a motion of loving. Because the church was not commissioned to be in one place, but rather in all places for all people. Now, as we read these words from the Old Testament this morning, I mean, it's personally, I think, easy to get distracted and kind of go off in a lot of different directions with these words. Because if you read it and just really don't spend a lot of time with it, you're seeing that the people are actually getting along. They're getting along. They're doing these things. They're speaking one language. They've come together united. And God said, that's not good. God said it's not good. So he came out, confused them, gave them different languages, sent them abroad over the whole earth. So you start wondering, okay, now why is it that God did this? That he's made them where they couldn't understand each other and then sent them over the whole earth. But if you look there in the middle part of that scripture, you see what was happening. They had forgot about who God was. They were not acknowledging God. They were doing things for themselves. So this scripture is a great example of how God has responded to a culture, a society, and the people that have become arrogant, that have become out of control, and of a people that think they have all the answers and that they don't need anything else other than their own knowledge. They felt like they had mastered everything and essentially were saying, hey, look at us. Look at what we can do. Look at how good we are. The awareness that they had was no longer that they depended upon God or acknowledged God for his goodness and his greatness, but rather their thought, their collective thought, their culture, if you will, had become one of personal achievement. And they did not seem to understand that no power exists apart from God. If you look at how they worded and how it was said, what did they say? They said, let us build for ourselves a city. They don't say anything about God. Let us build for ourselves a city and a tower with its tops into the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Now, where in there do you see it say anything about, let's do this for God? Let's do this because God has empowered us and God has allowed us to do this. It's about that personal achievement. They built that tower for themselves as a symbol of their accomplishment. And that's what God was looking at. Now, granted, they had come together and they were speaking the same language and they were getting along because they were focused on this one thing. There wasn't any focus there in God. And then God's looking down and he's saying, you know what? This is not good. Because if they're able to do this, they've come together for basically an inappropriate purpose. If they're able to do this, then nothing will be impossible for them in the future. And if they're all speaking the same language and doing the same thing, then it's going to be really, really hard for the truth to be out there, and the truth that is in God and the truth that would later be in Jesus Christ. So that's when he scattered them, different languages, scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. There are some theological scholars that will say this is how we ended up with different languages across the world, and how we ended up with people in different parts of the world. Others will offer other explanations. But the point that I make today is on the day of Pentecost, when that fire descended, and that wind descended, not the fire, but the wind descended upon the people like a fire, then people could suddenly hear again what people were talking about the truth in the scriptures, about God, and about making disciples. So after this period of a misunderstanding, now we're commissioned with making disciples of all people everywhere, having that one focus, but the focus now is, and as it was then, but the people had forgot about it, the focus now is on God. Hearing the words from the book of Genesis this morning causes us to consider the word babbling in our language. I'm sure we've all used it. Well, that person is babbling. And especially in relationships, you probably have used it quite a bit about your spouse in one sense or the other, about how they sometimes babble. In other words, basically they're speaking without making a whole lot of sense or having any real meaning. And I've known a lot of people in my life that they talk. I hear a lot of noise coming out of their mouth, but I don't hear a lot of information coming out of their mouth. Some people just talk because they like to talk. You know anybody like that? You can raise your hand if you want to. You don't have to give me their names. But that happens. So, what I ask, I mean, we're seeing here what God is saying about these people. They have this one language that concerns him. So, I ask you this. What is that one language today? What is that one language today that we speak that concerns the Lord? You know, that language that I'm speaking of, the things or thing that causes anguish in the heart of our God and forces him to look upon this world as a disobedient place. Are we all focused on some type of personal achievement? Are we focused on something that we have to have or something that we want to do? Is there something else that maybe at Christmas we place a greater emphasis on gift giving and celebration of the holidays than we do the theological importance of Christmas? So is there something out there that is that language that concerns our God, just like the language that he heard of these people whenever they were building the tower? And as I read this scripture, I cannot help but to place our modern day society in a role compared to that with those who built the Tower of Babel. Because I think there are places that we have built a city, a place, an establishment for ourselves in this world. I think there are places that we've done that, and sometimes it's even been the church. Do we have to have the tallest steeple in town to be a good church? Do we have to have this or that or whatever to be good in our own families or in our workplace or whatever the case? What's the measure of success? Is it what we have, or is it maybe what's in our heart? What is that language that we need to be speaking compared to where maybe we've been conformed to the world? Where have we erected a tower or a sign of our own greatness and our own knowledge with the intent to make a name for ourselves? And where have we lost the point that no power exists apart from God? When we think of that term Babel, we know that the derivative of the word is closely associated with confusing. And then the scripture says that the Lord confused. We probably can think of some great applications for that word today of how people speak without real reason, real knowledge, or real understanding. And I cannot help but to think that the motions that we go through in our lives a lot of times and in our society are nothing more than babbling. In other words, where are those places in our life that we do things that really have no reason that we're doing it? Why do we do a certain thing? How does that certain thing take us away from the Word of God? How does that certain thing take us away from church? How does it take us away from attending church? How does it take us away from maybe a stronger prayer life or spiritual life? And when you ask why we always do it, well, it's because we've always done that, or my parents did it, or my grandparents did it. And there's a lot of those places to where maybe we're just going through the motions. We might be going through the motions without a real meaning, or real reasoning, or a real understanding. And I think when we slow down a little bit and we look at some of those places in our life and ask ourselves, and this is what the people forgot that we read about in the scripture, if we stop and say, how is this going to glorify God? How is this going to glorify God? So when these people in the scripture said, from Genesis 11 said, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower reaching up to the heavens. When they said this, if their next question would be, now we do this, how can we use this to glorify God? So maybe how is it that you use a bad situation in your life to glorify God? How is it that you use a career change to glorify God? Or maybe some spiritual talent that you have. How do you use it to glorify God? Maybe you're a great singer. How do you use that? I mean, To me, it's inappropriate if you're a great singer and you're sitting over there and not up here singing, because you're not using that to glorify God. You've got that gift that God gave you to start off with. You've got to use it. And that's where we look at our own lives. Where are we successful? And when we see those places to where we're successful, then we stop what we're doing right there and we say, you know what? We're successful here because it was God's gift to us. Now, how is it that I can use that gift to glorify God? So whether it be something in your personal life, something that you can do differently, maybe you're great at speaking, maybe you start doing something that involves a speaking ministry, or just maybe you're one of those people that have never met a stranger. And I know of at least one of those in this congregation, that you have never met a stranger. You use that to talk to people about God. Because there's a lot of us in here that might be hesitant to walk up to a stranger and say, hey, how you doing today? And they look like they're having a bad day. It looks like you're having a bad day, but I'd like to help you. I mean, this is what God's done for me and what Christ has done for me. There are people that are good at that. So don't hold that in. Use what God gave you. Not as a personal accomplishment. Not as a tower reaching into the heavens or a city for yourself. But let it be used as something to glorify God. Because our God did not intend us to be focused on our personal achievement, but rather focused on the body and the world and making disciples and growing the kingdom. Over these last weeks, we've heard words about standing united as a body of Christ, living fully in love. We've been reminded of God's power over all the challenges in this world. We've been invited to remember the commands to love God, to love neighbor, while also reaching out to make disciples, that I will be baptized in the name of the Lord. And we are a pretty diverse people, especially when you look at the whole church institution, at the whole church body, of all the churches everywhere. We are a pretty diverse institution. And that's good. But let us remember that that diversity can't just stop and it's not there on paper, because diversity means that we focus on an inclusiveness in the body of Christ without a consideration for language, for culture, for gender, for sexual orientation, for race, or for any of that. And this doesn't get back to the point of saying that we're looking at the sin and saying one thing's worse than another or anything along those lines. We say that the church is a place for sinners. It's a place for sinners to develop that greater relationship with God. So our focus is that all children of God need to be included in the body of Christ. And our understanding of the Scripture is that all people are created in the image of God. Therefore, all people are children of God. So what I say to you today is, let our language be that of love. Let our language be consistent with making disciples and acknowledging where God has been at work in our lives, that we would give Him the glory for those places of achievement. And let us remember that the church was put into motion on the day of Pentecost to spread the word of God, inviting others to a point of change, to a point of saying, I depart from the ways of my past and I go forward renewed, regenerated in a new life. Let us continue that movement that was intended on the day of Pentecost and not build a tower, but let us be united in love as a body of Christ. And let us stop this nonsense that our world is very practical with. Let us stop this nonsense of babbling. And let us be focused in love. Praise be to God.